camera. I gotta get used to sitting here.
Okay.
Good morning and welcome to the belated start of the Finance Committee meeting of July 13, 2017. I guess we'll get the administrative matters out of the way first. You've all had a chance to review the agenda, so I'll entertain a motion to approve the agenda for today's meeting. Second. All in favor, signify by saying aye, aye. Very good. And have you all had an opportunity to review the minutes of the June 8th, 2017 meeting? So I'll entertain a motion for approval of those minutes. Second. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Thank you. Good morning. We have two items on our agenda for today, and I'd like to provide an overview before turning the floor over to the General Manager and Mr. Anasecki. First, the committee will be asked to approve the issuance of up to $575.2 million in Series 2017B bonds to support approved capital project. This is a follow-up to the board item in March of this year that authorized the issuance of this debt. This debt covers capital projects that were incurred in the just-completed fiscal year 2017 and those that will be funded in the current fiscal year 2018. Second, staff will present a request that the board authorize a public hearing for bus service changes. A similar request was discussed at this morning's Customer Service Committee meeting for changes that would be revenue neutral to the budget. The bus service changes being requested here at this Finance Committee meeting represent service additions requested by the District of Columbia and certain Virginia jurisdictions, which would require additional subsidy from the sponsoring jurisdiction in the first year, and then subsequently, under current bus subsidy rules, would be added to the base budget requiring all jurisdictions to support. Because of the potential long-term impact, the General Manager requested that this portion of the bus service changes, those that are not revenue neutral, come before the Finance Committee today. Today's action is only to consider an authorization for a public hearing. Whether such services are to go forward and how they are to be subsidized will be considered by the Finance Committee following the public hearing and a report from staff in the fall. With that introduction, I'll turn the floor over to Mr. Anasecki, unless the General Manager has some introductory comments. We will then lead through the discussion on the first item. Gentlemen.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Yesterday, just as an update, Metro closed on the financial, the refunding transaction that this board authorized last month. We ended up saving the jurisdiction $36 million compared to the $27 million that we expected for the transaction. And today, Mr. Chairman, staff seeks final committee authorization to issue new money bonds for capital improvements, most of which were associated with the capital projects that the board approved last March. The new money bonds that we're talking about today is a total of $575 million of par value. And they're made up of three components. The first component is the $76 million, which were part of the FY17 to 2016, FY11 to 2016 CFA. The second component is $58 million from the FY17 capital budget and $441, which is directly associated with the FY18 capital budget approval. And as we noted during prior conversations about debt issuance, Metro uses debt as a way of reducing the upfront capital commitment from the jurisdictions. Furthermore, we do not expect a higher credit rating or lower interest costs with respect to this debt transaction that we're talking about today, at least not until Metro is provided with dedicated funding. Until then, we expect that the ratings will be similar to what we just got, which are AA minuses from S&P and Fitch. In terms of projects, we expect that some of these funds will go towards railcar series that we have now, the 7,000, new buses, as well as bus maintenance facilities. We also expect some of these funds to go towards both rail station and bus upgrades, as well as escalators and elevators across the system. As you know, the compact allows jurisdictions to opt out of the proposed debt issuance and provide cash to Metro. Pending those opt-outs, which some of which we've gotten already, the slide that you're looking at here shows the respective amounts for the jurisdictions, which may or may not be the final amount when we go to the market. And in terms of the bond structure itself, the proposed debt has a 25-year maturity with maximum interest rate of about 5%. Again, similar to the last transactions, we expect that our DPE participation will exceed 30%. Should the committee approve the resolution, this schedule anticipates transaction close between August and September of this year. Mr. Chairman, that concludes my presentation. I'd be glad to respond to any questions.
Thank you. Questions from members of the committee, which I guess is everybody here. Mr. Bolger.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to point out to our colleagues that the chairman and myself and Dennis had a long conversation with one of our larger banks here in the metropolitan area, and I think they have some interest going down the road. But as you know, I've said it would be great if we had some local participation by our bank, which are, unfortunately, we just don't have big enough banks in the Washington metropolitan area, which sort of surprised me. But we did have a good conversation with a bank I won't name about future homegrown financial services.
Thank you. Other questions? Mr. Maseki, on your slide, number 6, headed jurisdictional shares, at this stage, are all of the funding jurisdictions participating in this $575.2 million offering, or have some decided to opt out? Please advise the committee at the end of the month if there are any jurisdictions that have opted out and therefore what the exact number of the offering would be. Thank you. On your slide 7, you indicated maximum true interest cost of up to 5%, and in your introductory remarks, you indicated we went to market with the first tranche, the 217A bonds. Do you have a projection as to what you would expect the interest rate to be on the 2017 B series?
To allow us respond to the dynamic movements in the capital markets. But at this point, obviously, we can't predict where the rates will come in.
What was the final rate on the Series A bond?
All interest costs is about 3. 3.
I think everybody will be looking for 3 for this one as well.
Good. Just to be clear, Mr. Chairman, our credit rating will be consistent. So if the market is consistent, we'll get that rate. It's just all up to the market.
Let's hope we have a good market then in the next 30, 60 days. Other questions, members? No? Very good. Entertain a motion then to approve the 2017 series related bonds. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much. Motion carried. You have your marching orders. Next item. Thank you, gentlemen. As I said, introducing this issue, the only thing before the committee today is a vote to go to a public hearing. We're not debating today the merits of these various 11 routes and what the ultimate subsidy burden will be. And indeed, I just want to stake out my position on behalf of the state of Maryland that until we have a clear picture of the funding needs, the operating budget funding needs for the authority for FY19 and FY20, that the position we will advance is that these 11 routes, as they are for FY18, should be continue to be funded outside of the bus funding formulas. They should be continue to be treated as reimbursable projects with the share of any additional subsidy costs paid by the sponsoring jurisdictions. Having said that, I just want to have one introductory question and then open it to the floor. I just want to be clear on your potential Metro bus service increase slide, Mr. Hamry, that the right-hand, one more back, that the right-hand column represents a request for each of these services by the agencies shown in the right-hand column. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. They've been requested and discussed through several different processes.
And in the column type where you've identified all but one of the routes as a regional route, could you summarize and then provide the committee how you come to that conclusion?
Well, that's specifically referencing its designation for subsidy allocation purposes. So,
and what is the source of that?
Well, that was adopted with the change in the subsidy back in 2000, just for 2000, and has been amended each year as part of the budget since. There's, forget about 115 lines that are regional and about 65 or so that are designated non-regional.
Could you distribute that to members of the committee? It fascinates me that lines that seem to be exclusively in one jurisdiction are called regional, while something like the BWI bus line is denominated as non-regional, which wherein it serves a regional source of ridership. It's seemingly a victory of nomenclature over logic that I'd like to explore
to
further
the
with
policy
you.
Policy document and the list of all of the designations.
Right. Thank you. That would be very helpful, I think, to all the members of the board. Questions? Mr. Bolger.
Well, I'm glad you brought up this regional, non-regional. I think it's premature to designate these routes one way or the other until we see what we're going to be faced with in fiscal 2019. I also wanted to point out that in our conference call that it didn't get picked up in the documents that the District of Columbia has committed $2 million already for one of the routes, which is the 59 Metro Extra and the U8 Extension, offsetting the need for additional jurisdictional subsidy requirements for those two routes until mid-2019. So our colleagues, you know, the district has appropriated $2 million for those two routes, okay? So we're not asking for subsidy in 2019. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Mr. Chairman, just one final thing. We have the district has a couple of amendments to the clauses and the whereases, et cetera, et cetera. When do you want to handle that part of the agenda?
Why don't we have first a round of questions
to
take up specific amendments. Mr. Dorsey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So comment more so than a question. You know, this is a necessary part of the investigative process to determine not only public feedback on this, but to give WMATA staff the time to study the subsidy implications, to give the jurisdictions time to consider other funding options, or to decide that these are not desirable to move forward at all. I would encourage all of you to look at this as a necessary, consistent part of what we do all the time to figure out how we not only deal with our financial issues, but best meet the needs of our riders. You know, we don't have the ability to add new rail on a dime, so the only way that we can meet emerging and dynamic customer demand is to utilize better bus service. And I want to just highlight what Mr. Hamry brought up at the beginning. None of these were requested out of thin air or on a whim. These have been studied in some cases for many years to figure out how to best match riders with where they need to go. So I would just encourage everyone to allow the process to continue regardless of some of the anxiety that we have about finances, because we don't know the full financial implication at this time, and this is a necessary part to get us to a point where we can have a reasoned conversation with all data under consideration.
I think there's a concern that, some of these have been put forward, and they have not been looked at in terms of the analysis, and thus the customers may not respond, and then we have to come back and look at this differently. So I think there's a little bit difference that in some jurisdictions we've looked at some routes, and you've made pretty clear that you find some benefit there, where I think we have some concern here in Fairfax that we've not had that part of the discussion. And so that's one of the reasons it was asked in the customer service earlier to remove it. So there is a difference there. I don't see any problem in having the larger discussion, but there are some that have not been looked at jurisdictionally. That's the difference. And they are the 1Y, 11Y, and 26A. So I'm not privy to the same information.
Yes, I would say my question comes from a consistency basis, which is what is the rationale of the recent cuts of several lines that we've had followed by the implementation of new routes?
The decisions made with respect to the budget and the analysis with respect to the bus service reductions were twofold. One was based on service level and obviously the funding available. But consistent with the history of this organization, each summer, there is a further review as the market shifts to make sure that we are effectively serving riders. And as a result of those analysis, to the extent that additional adjustments are made and needed, then they are made. You know, what we're doing here now is not entirely inconsistent with what happened before. This will give us a chance to, again, identify, with respect to this route, what our adjustments are needed to improve what we're providing to our customers, but to be paid at least for the first year by the jurisdictions themselves.
I think is a little different here this year is, since we are dealing with, as we're looking into the future and we're trying to wrestle with those issues and what we came out with you know, keep Metro safe, reliable, and affordable. In effect, what this does, it starts to either change the base so that so the recommendation that we've made is that we cap at 3% the operating growth into the future. So either we're increasing the base in 19 now, if we, you know, we have the public hearings and we decide to do this, we've increased the base, and that 3% is on this new base, where we've eaten into that 3%. Because on the one slide, we show that, in effect, if, you know, again, if all these routes were to be done as we envision them now, it's 28 additional operators. Well, those 28 additional operators are most likely here for a very long time. So that feeds this overall operating issue that we have to wrestle with. So that's why I think it's got to be in that context that we, you know, that we work through this.
We'll give Mr. Augustine a shot at it.
Yeah, I just kind of want to get on to what the general manager was just saying, and it just is something for me that this is very difficult, and I understand that we're talking about and discussing this now, but we just went through a process of letting people go. People lost their jobs, and we have to face that, and we did that with the understanding that we had a serious budget crisis going on, and that has not abated. There's been no indication that we have anything but still much more difficult times ahead, and I'm really struggling with the messaging that we're sending to our stakeholders, which you as a group have been so, you know, talk about all the time, like the messaging that we're sending to our stakeholders about how, what type of stewardship that we're doing as we're seeking additional funding and things like that. I really am very concerned about the messaging that we are sending to them about what we're thinking about when we're looking to increase service when, again, we've talked about safety over expansion being really so important, and could those dollars that the district has obviously been willing to put up be used towards making this system much more safe and more secure? There's not endless amounts of money or endless funds, and so I really am concerned about the message that we are sending with this, even just in the conversation of it, and the message that we're sending to those people who have lost their jobs, who have lost their routes, because they have in Prince George's County, in the hopes of becoming, you know, getting this system on level footing. And it really is very troubling to me, even to start having this conversation a week after we just have implemented some very difficult changes. And I just really struggle with that.
Yeah, but this is just to get to the public hearing, okay? I mean, you know, and the numerator-denominator situation here is, as Paul pointed out, we also, and we talked about this at length in our conference call, is that every year we go through, as Jim pointed out, trimming routes that are non-performing, okay? So it's not, Malcolm, it's not like this is the first time we've had to make drastic changes or
I agree, but SOGO is typically cost neutral. This is not. This is the reason why these two have been separated, as you well know. So typically the SOGO is cost neutral. This is expansion, and so it is different. And I think that is why the general manager made a good suggestion that it should come before the finance committee, because this is, in fact, expansion. This is not SOGO, and it doesn't belong. We've already dealt with the SOGO. This is different.
I understand that, but there also are trims made every year, Jim points out, that I'm familiar with, based on analysis, on the market is not static. The market shifts. And that's why the district has put $2 million up for these routes. And they'll be trimming other routes, I'm sure, in the district as we do the analysis going forward. But this is not all about expansion.
Let me ask a couple questions about the slide entitled Estimated Financial Impact, the next one in the series. Since you're going to take this data to the public hearing, I guess the first question that occurs to me is the FY18 column. In your papers, you indicate that these new routes, if approved by the committee and the board, would go into effect in December 2017. Is that correct? And so that would mean that the FY18 column represents about 6 months. Is that right?
That is correct.
And I'm trying to understand why the numbers for FY19 are five times what they are for the 6 months. Normally, when you go from 6 months to 12 months, it would double to $2.2 million. What explains why it goes up by five times?
December are the service adjustments on 14th Street, service adjustments on Alabama, service adjustments on the 11Y in Alexandria, and I think those are the three. There's a school trip as well. And so not that whole list is implemented in December. A subset of that list implemented in December. The rest take time to coordinate the vehicles, the marketing, the local operator adjustments in order to be able to implement in June of this year.
So are you saying that not all the routes, not all the 11 routes will be implemented in the six-month period in the second half of FY18?
Yes.
And so I guess what you're saying is that the first time we will see all 11 routes is July 1st, 2018?
If they're approved through the process, yes.
Okay. And the FY18 numbers, you show numbers of 800,000 coming from the district and 80,000 from Virginia. Do you have binding commitments to provide that amount of money in the 6 months of January to June 2018?
The conversations with the JCC and the jurisdictions have indicated that those commitments we made. What we're going, this is no different from what has happened in the past. We have indicated to Metro that they will provide us funds at the appropriate time.
Right. Don't you need that information when you come back to the Finance Committee in the fall as to whether there are binding commitments?
Yes, and that will reflect what the final decisions are vis-a-vis the services that are.
Now, if ridership isn't as you project, are those jurisdictions prepared to kick in whatever the ultimate subsidy cost is for the 6 months of January to June 2018?
Ultimately, the jurisdictions will make the call since they're going to pay the FY18 cost. If, to the extent that they choose not to move forward, we will not be advancing those recommendations to the board.
So the arrangement with the jurisdictions will be open-ended, but they will pick up whatever the tab is for FY18.
Is that correct? That's correct.
Okay. Ms. Hedges, I think you have a comment.
Yes, that is the comment, and that's the concern that I just raised before. In terms of the three routes that are across jurisdictional lines, and that we have not budgeted for those. And I think the question is, how do we go out and have public hearing on it in that first half? It's not 18 that you're worried about. It's not 19 you're worried about. You're worried about 18.
You want to make a motion to delete one or more of these routes from the...
Yes, and that is the request that we had made in customer service, same here, that we remove 1Y, 11Y, and 26A.
For the purpose of the conversation, I'll second the motion so we can have a discussion of that amendment.
It's the same discussion we had before, and I think it is it's difficult, and I have to take it in the context that we heard earlier. The desire to do this probably merits some looking at it. The question is it budgeted, and that if it's not budgeted, it doesn't. It really would not be to the advantage of the riders to go out to it, and then we're still complaining that we can't fund this. The entire part, and it's unfortunate.
Recognizing, I'm advised by secretary and staff that we first have to make a motion.
Oh, okay.
To recommend the board public hearing.
Oh, we haven't gotten there yet. Okay, we're still in discussion. Okay.
So, entertain a motion if someone wants to make it that we hold a public hearing on bus service improvements requiring budget additions as proposed by staff. Second.
And I'll make
and we'll recognize the amendment on the table presented by Ms. Hutchins.
Okay.
I interrupted Ms. Hutchins.
I'll go ahead and I'll then I'd like to move that we remove the 1Y, 11Y, and 26A from the proposal.
And I've seconded that for purposes of conversation and discussion.
Mr. Smedberg.
Ms. Hutchins, I think had a discussion. The 11Y, not in its totality, but
right.
It's the portion that's in Alexandria would stay, because we need to do, as Mr. Dorsey said earlier, we need to do that analysis stuff before we decide whether or not we're going to move forward with that.
I assume the rule is, as it always is, that if something's on the docket, we can take it off later, but we can't put something on. Is that correct?
Do you have a specific proposal for amending this exhibit so to potential Met service increase to make clear what is in and what is out under Ms. Hudgens' amendment?
Right. I mean, it's just the adjustment within the 11th law.
How would we make that adjustment?
I don't know how we would do
I'm sorry. I wish I could talk that part. I don't know how to make that.
One suggestion would be to advertise improvement in the 11Y from Alexandria to D.C. That would leave the Fairfax County portion out.
That's fine. That's fine. So that is the objective. It's not to change your decision of what you're looking for. It's just that because it was not brought together, you don't have the same commitment. Yes. Right.
Okay. So to be clear, my understanding is now that would read increased service to respond to ridership demands per end Alexandria, D.C. only.
So a question for Ms. Hudgens and Mr. Hamry. So it's my recollection that this morning at customer service, there were some changes made to a route that the 1Y was designed to backfill. So in essence, if your amendment goes through, there will be an actual reduction, an overall reduction in service that was previously delivered by the 4A or 4B, which we discontinued as part of SOGO. So this is creating a service gap, is what I'm suggesting. Is that correct?
They are linked proposals. If we don't have the 1Y as an alternative, then it directly affects the decision framework of the 4A, which essentially would leave it as is to avoid that service gap. Or do we come up with some other way of providing service that does not include the Fairfax County portion of Arlington Boulevard?
It just seems to me that, I don't know, it seems like making it a part of the discovery process and the public hearing process is appropriate here since we've linked it to another revenue-neutral, cost-neutral proposal that is we've already acted on.
But that means that you only have taxes
I'm sorry that wasn't the discussion earlier, but I don't see it. If it's not going to be in the budget for 17 year 18, it's. I don't see how you add it in. I think the problem is that we have. We've missed some communication here, and I regret that part. But I don't see how we can add it in, and I guess it's the 18 that you're trying to work through. Is there any other? I don't know another solution.
Yeah, I guess maybe I'm not tracking it, but we have as part of the public
part of the public hearing that with what you were. We were trying to address was the subsidy funding that's already in, right? So the question I would ask to you is, it would be part of the year?
No, I think
because this hasn't been considered for.
I think I'm talking about something different. So we approved as part of the public hearing, mm-hmm. some service changes to the 4A, which were developed with the idea that there would be these service increases to the 1Y. I'm not sure that anyone would be recommending the service changes to the 4A, knowing that the 1Y changes are not being made. So we have something on the public hearing docket that doesn't have, that is not in anyone's professional designation as something that we ought to pursue. Is that an accurate way to think about it, or am I thinking about it wrong?
No, that's correct. The reason the 1Y is on this docket is that it extends further west than the 4A does. Right now it terminates at 7 Homes, and it would run further east into the district than the 4A does, which ends at Rossman.
Right.
And that's why it would generate the requirement for district resource to do the 4A.
Yeah. So you can't do it all. So
This is further discussion of Ms. Hudgens' motion.
Mr. Chairman, just to put it out there on the table, just listening to the discussion, is this time sensitive or is this something that maybe we come back to in 2 weeks after
it'll
staff?
Be a,
is that
an be approval at the board.
Sort of work some of this out just to make sure everyone is clear.
I would leave the motion as it is and then maybe we can work it out before the board. I don't know.
So do you want to pursue a vote on your amendment at this point?
I think it has to be.
Okay.
That's the only way
so
we
let's
get
do that and keep the process moving. So is there an amendment to the broader resolution proposed by Ms. Hudgens? All in favor of Ms. Hudgens' amendment to delete the 11Y, the 26A, and the modification to the description of the 1Y as Alexandria DC only? All in favor, signify by.
Add 11.
I'm sorry. The changes on.
The
not the 1Y. Okay, I'm sorry. Right. So all in favor of Ms. Hudgens' motion, signify by raising their hands. All opposed? Well, now I know you have to one, two, nine, if they count, one, two, three, four,
I did
five.
Remind myself.
In favor.
I thought you were.
Wait a minute. I think we need to have a little clarity. So,
well,
all
the list. Put it back in 2 weeks.
Yes, you can all.
Madam Secretary, do you want to do the roll call since I guess there'll be a division in the House?
Vice Chair Bulger?
I guess that's a recorded vote.
Really,
I don't have a dog in the
fight. That's the only. That's the only.
Well,
that's why I said.
Well, that's why I said.
I don't either. Because I don't have any money for it. It doesn't.
I'll just go through the roll. Let me just do the roll. It'll be a lot faster. Chair Evans? Okay. Ms. Harley? Ms. Harley? Mr. Corcoran?
Yes.
Mr. Price? Ms. Ms. Carmody? Mr. Augustine? Mr. Dorsey? Mr. Lobby? Ms. Porter? And Mr. Smedberg? Mr. Goldman.
Yes.
Just give us a second to tally. It's 1-1, so the motion failed.
No, it wasn't. There's at least two favor right here.
Yeah.
You voted yes.
You might want to say
you're the one.
So it passes 3-1.
Okay. So
3-1.
Okay.
Motion passes. My apology.
Right. So it passes 3-1 and without, you know, and of course, if the parties wish to bring it back,
maybe we'll figure it out.
Between the next 2 weeks, they shall. Mr. Bulger, did you have an amendment?
Yes.
That's why it's
Her amendment passed, so we have the list that's under the potential Metrobus service increases. It now only has 8 routes.
We'd like to add the following service change proposal in conjunction with the X9, if this is appropriate now. Reduce local route X2 weekday trips to partially offset new weekday midday Metro Extra limited stop route X9 service. That's one. And the second one was add rush hour reverse peak midday and evening service on the H1 route. So I can give that to the Jennifer.
I'm waiting for a second. You want to explain what you're proposing?
No, put it on the docket.
Put it on the docket.
Included in the docket for the public hearing.
Has it been priced out? Is it reflected in the numbers in the following exhibit entitled Estimated Financial Impact?
No.
Okay. And I assume the number would be added to the 800,000 in the VC column? All right. Any further discussion on Mr. Bolger's amendment? To put it on the docket? Seeing none, call the question. All in favor, signify by raising your hand. All opposed? Seems to carry. Less controversial. Okay. Before moving to the question on the basic resolution, if I can get. Yes.
I need to show of hands again. We need to write a little bit more time if we're going to do hands. So you could. It's all in.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Question for Mr. Vanasecki. When this matter comes back to the Finance Committee in the fall, which will require an amendment to the FY18 operating budget, is that correct? That's how it will come back in the fall?
Yeah, I believe so. It's a reimbursable is for FY18.
Okay. Do you anticipate bringing any other changes to the FY18 operating budget for the committee? Specifically, what I'm asking about is implementation of the end of the Grosvenor turnbacks on the red line, which is required under the resolution passed by the board January 25, 2015, to occur prior to July 1, 2018. So that would mean it would have to occur either in the final quarter of 2018 or in June 2018. We expect to, unless it's already happened. I noticed that three trains in a row were all going to Shady Grove this morning when I came over here, that maybe you've already implemented the turnbacks.
we do not know at this point, but we are aware of that resolution and we are reviewing the obligations under the resolution.
So you don't know at this point whether it requires any other additional funds to implement that resolution, but if it does, you'll come back to us.
We're trying to
at
understand
the same time.
Fully understand the implications of that resolution and then come back to the board at the appropriate time. But I do not know this point.
What I'm suggesting is the appropriate time is when you come back for an amendment to the FY18 operating budget for the new bus routes.
We're working through that. I do not know if it's going to be the same timeline as November or after that timeline.
I'm hearing you and I'm encouraging you on behalf of my constituents and my jurisdiction to bring them in together. All right. We still need a vote on the motion to hold a public hearing on the bus service improvement requiring budget additions that were set forth in the chart headlined the potential Metro bus service increases as amended by the Hudgens and Bolger amendments. So we've had a motion. So all in favor, going to hearing, signify by saying aye. Aye. Any opposed? I'm sorry. Yes, opposed. Art, seems as though the louder voices were the ayes, and that going to a public hearing carries. Thank you. I believe that completes everything that needs to come before the Finance Committee today. Thank you. The Finance Committee stands adjourned.